Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. We have an awesome show today. We have some guests that I've been I've been standing on the table for over the last few months. We got Auburn's Marlon Davidson, high energy, that dog. We got Utah running back Zach Moss, and we're going to go with the Rough Rider, Wyoming linebacker Logan Wilson. Special show for you guys. I love the lineup. We'll keep it going. But before we get into the conversation with the prospects, I want to address something that is just... I feel like I'm at Six Flags and I'm on a roller coaster because it goes up and then it goes down. And it goes up and down again. And that thing that is going up and down is the Jadeveon Clowney free agency ride. One day you're hearing the Titans are all in. The next day you're hearing it's the Jets. Then you hear it's the Colts. Then you hear it's the Giants. And then you hear it's the Seahawks. Folks, this thing is I know it's tough for you guys and girls to ride out. Here's the thing. I feel personally the best spot for Jadeveon Clowney is here in Nashville. And obviously, he could go to any team and have an impact. You saw what he did with Seattle. And this is a case where you have to look beyond the stats. Just the way he took games over. That San Francisco game, yikes. He's a guy that he's like a lot of other players that we talk about on this show where they have an impact beyond the box score. And I feel like in Seattle, he matched the energy that they want to bring on defense. So Seattle is definitely a good fit. But why do I feel that the Titans are the best fit for Clowney? Well, it's pretty simple. They have this head coach by the name of Mike Vrabel, who happened to be his defensive coordinator when they were in Houston in 2017. Here's a stat line for those of you who do like numbers. 9.5 sacks, 18 QB hits, 21 tackles for a loss. Mike Vrabel was the defensive coordinator then. Those are all career highs for Jadeveon Clowney. And you'll say, oh, well, you know, who wants to pay that much money for a guy who doesn't get double-digit sacks? Listen, it's not all about sacks. Because I'm going to throw some other numbers at you. And here are some of the deeper reasons why I feel the Titans need to go get Clowney, why Clowney is the best fit, you know, why the Titans are the best fit for him. This AFC Championship game, what was the thing that everyone was pining for as Pat Mahomes was just extending plays and running down the field like Steve Young against the Rams, the LA Rams, back in the 80s. It was getting somebody who could impact the quarterback and dominate one-on-one matchups. Why? Because the Titans were sending four and dropping seven into coverage. Understandably, that's what you got to do when you're going against a team with Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, DeMarcus Robinson, Tyreek Hill. I mean, they had an awesome lineup. So you have to devote a lot to coverage, but still, the back end is only as good as the front end, just the same as the front end is only as good as the back end. So that being said, if you're going to devote to coverage, you still have to have people up front getting after the quarterback. Jadeveon Clowney had the fourth highest. Now, this is according to ESPN's pass rush win rate. So this is the percentage of pass rushes that you're winning, right? Either getting to the quarterback, impacting the quarterback in some way. He was fourth highest in the NFL at 31.9%. That's a pretty good percentage. But then you'll say, okay, well, you know, they signed Vic Beasley and, you know, Harold Landry is extending, and you're 100% right. Both cases are right. And I strongly feel if the Titans can dig deep inside of Vic Beasley and unleash that guy that had 15 and a half sacks, unleash that guy who was a ferocious pass rusher coming out of Clemson, I think they'll have a really good thing. But here's another way those guys will benefit. When you have a game record like Jadeveon Clowney, guess what has to happen? Protection is going to slide to him. You're going to see more double teams. Clowney was double teamed on 26.3% on his pass rushes, which is the third highest among all qualifying defenders. However, his 24.8 pass rush win rate against double teams is the fifth highest in the NFL. Bottom line, folks, this guy impacts the passer. How many times did you watch Dean Pease at his press conference say, sacks are great, we love sacks, but it's all about impacting the passer? These are examples of how Clowney will impact the passer. Now, obviously, the roller coaster is going up and down, and it seems to go up more for the Seahawks than any other team because they know what they're signing. They've already done the exit physical along with the exit interview. They know what's going on. We know that Clowney had the core procedure, right? The hernia. So that's something you have to try to get an understanding for where he is after that process. Seattle, I think, has the best opportunity to know what they're getting. I think that's a big issue. And obviously, you know, this whole situation, this COVID-19, is affecting every part of society, right? And this is yet another way that it's affecting the sports, specifically free agency in the NFL. So we'll see how this Clowney thing continues to play out. It's very interesting how this was the top pass rusher on the market. And typically the top pass rusher, or I'm not even going to call him a pass rusher, because you talk about run, since 2016, no player has more run stuffs than Jadeveon Clowney. No player. He has 64 run stuffs. And if you're wondering what a run stuff is, that's a tackle on a run play that results in either no gain or a loss. That's since 2016. He has 64 run stuffs. Guess what? 21 of those came, and we're just talking about tackles for loss. 21 tackles for a loss out of his 64 run stuffs came with Mike Vrabel as his defensive coordinator. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but I think if you look at this, it's a classic case of 1 + 1 = 2. It really needs to happen. But at the same time, understanding that this is a guy who wants $20 million a year, reportedly. The Titans can afford it, but wow, that's a large chunk. Especially when you're already allocating upwards of $24 million per year to your quarterback. It's hard to have both things and knowing some of the other areas that they're going to have to address. Right? So I get it. I think as the market continues to inch closer to the draft, that deal is going to continue to decline. And then it comes down to, hey, you know what? If I'm Jadeveon Clowney, it comes down to, hey, all right, look, I wanted $20 million, but you know what? I'm a younger guy. Let me go ahead and get this short-term deal in the best situation, I think, for me, the one that is most conducive to me putting up the best numbers. I'm going to sign that deal, and I'm going to re-enter the market after I put up the top numbers that I'm capable of putting up in that scheme. Translation, go to the Titans, a two-year deal, $35 to $40 million. Revisit the market in 2 years and call it a day. That's what Teron was thinking. That's what TD was thinking today. I wanted to get that off of my chest. But now we're going to move on because you know what? Jarrell Casey was traded. They need somebody to replace him. We have a guy that's a younger, less expensive, versatile defensive lineman that I think could come in and do it. So we're going to bring Marlon Davidson in at some point. Also, Zach Moss out of Utah, Logan Wilson out of Wyoming. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with our first guest.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Okay, back from the break, talking with TD. I specifically chose this track because it's a hard-hitting track. We're going to bring in a hard-hitting running back, a guy who's known for breaking tackles. Folks, you've heard me talk about him as one of my top guys over the last couple years, Utah running back Zach Moss. Zach, what's good, man?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I wanted to get this out of the way, right? And I'm not too prideful to admit when I made a mistake. And at the combine, you know what I'm saying, I had Calvin. This is a funny incident. So I'm waiting for the running backs to – not even waiting for them. The running backs are coming out the combine after doing the bench. And I'm standing there, and I was on the phone. And Zach walked by. His side profile looks just like Eno Benjamin. So I'm saying, Eno, Eno. And Zach is just keeping it going. And then he finally turned to me and was like, yo, man, I'm Zach. I wanted to get that out of the way and just say, yo, my bad, man. I had just introduced myself to you about 15 minutes ahead before that, too.
Yeah, I remember that.
But, hey, man, you know, it happens to the best of them. But I appreciate you coming on. And I want to kind of get right into just how you ended up at Utah. I know Miami was originally a destination for you, but Utah just doesn't seem like a place that, you know, someone would just choose. But it is a good school, obviously, as shown by all you guys were at the combine. So how did you end up at Utah?
Yeah, so like you said, I was committed to University of Miami at first. And I ended up decommitted from there. You know, I have a few more options out there that I really were taking seriously and I wanted to look at. And, you know, Utah was one of the places that, you know, that I was intrigued by. And just their recent success they had in a few years being in the Pac-12. And then two of my other teammates who had enrolled there earlier that I played with in high school, mm-hmm. our senior year together, our quarterback and one of our receivers. And I just felt like it was a place that I can go out there and, you know, make an impact.
Yeah, no doubt. Tyler Huntley, I know, is one of them, and he's a quarterback that I feel should have been at the combine. But I think, yeah. You know, he's one of the top guys. When you look at your relatives, right, Sonoris and Santana Moss, those are cousins. Have you talked to them at all during this process?
I've talked to Sonoris here and there. You know, not really diving in deep into about all this stuff here. You know. When it comes to the entire process and things like that. But, you know, I've been able to, you know, live into good luck and keep working and things like that, but nothing, you know, too crazy.
Got you. So returning to, because I thought you were coming out last year. You know what I mean? I was like, yeah, Zach Moss is going to be a guy that is going to be considered for the top two rounds. You went back. What was the unfinished business that you had to address in going back for your senior year?
It just was as a team. I felt like, you know, we had a lot of good pieces as a team my junior year and, you know, having to do some injuries on, you know, my part and then Tyler Huntley's part, we both getting hurt in the same week, really, you know, shifted our team's faith in that Pac-12 championship game, which we fell short in last year and this past season that just happened. But it was just about getting back to that Pac-12 championship game with the guys that I came in with that entire 2016 class. Pretty much all the 8-9 guys that we had at the combine was from the 2016 class. We all opted to come back and, you know, really make a run at this. And, you know, we ended up falling short again, like I said, to Oregon. But it was definitely something that, you know, it's not – you don't regret at all.
Yeah, and you came back and you further – establish what you are as a back, right? It's what, 5'9", 220 plus pounds. That number two is almost like a bowling ball, you know, the way you're running through guys. What is behind the violent running style that you have? Like, why do you thrive in those type of matchups where it's opportunities to just run through somebody's face?
It's just about leaving your will, man, being dominant in every shape and form you can. You know, when you walk off that field, you want to know that you've done everything that you possibly could to help your team win a game. And, you know, you want to instill that type of fear into your opponents, not just the ones you're playing that week, but going on through the season. Every time someone turns on the tape of you, they understand that it's not going to be, you know, a cakewalk or you're someone that's going to run out of bounds, but it's going to be, you know, have to put on your hard hat and, you know, really compete and really play football.
Yeah, that's something I love because it's almost like you were finishing runs with the intent of letting the next team you know that you're going to go against, letting them know, hey, look, it's not an easy walk. You're going to have to bring your big boy pants when you're coming at Utah.
Yes, sir.
What about Marshawn Lynch? Because I gave you the PG version of running through somebody's face. We know his comment is a little bit different. What is it about him that you like so much? Because I know he's one of your favorite backs.
You know, just coming from, you know, similar backgrounds, you know, him being from Oakland, me being from Miami, just similar backgrounds growing up and things like that. And just the way he's approached the game, you know what I mean? He's about business first, you know what I mean? He's not out there trying to make friends and things like that. Something I just, when I started playing the position, he was literally the first person that I turned on tape of, and I just fell in love with watching how he ran, the balance, and how just people just marveled at, you know, how he didn't get tackled or his balance and how he was just able to continue to just keep moving forward. And, you know, that was something that I just wanted to, you know, implement into my game, and my body type being, you know, very similar towards his was just, I mean, it was somebody's game. You know, you watch a lot of people, you know, people watch a lot of Adrian Peterson, but their body type, you know, doesn't always match that. He was the guy that I could just really, really, you know, do a lot of tape diving and, you know, really just add a lot of things that he's done well to make him very successful to my game.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, Miami being an original commit. You're from the area. We talked a little bit about the combine, about this, Frank Gore, and how you watched some of him, that low center of gravity. You seem to have that also. Is that something that just comes naturally, or is that something you gain through leg work? How did you get that ability to just, you know, be so hard to push over?
Honestly, I think it's both. I think it's more having that natural ability, you know, being very built low to the ground. Definitely has been an advantage. And then, you know, you add on just, you know, working out the legs and trying to get stronger in the lower body and more explosive and things like that. That just, you know, enhances what you already have as a natural ability. So I think it's definitely a combination of both.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing that's similar, in my opinion, is just the way both of you guys, you and Frank Gore, you're able to, it's almost cat-like, because it seems like if you get your head through, the rest of your body's getting through, and you could just make something out of the smallest of holes. That's another thing that impressed me. But I want to talk about the one-cut ability that you have, too. How important is that in running a zone scheme or even just being a running back overall?
It's important overall more than, you know, anything, no matter what type of scheme you run in. Honestly, it's the most important thing, being a back, you know, being able to be a one-cut guy. You know, Arian Foster is probably one of the better people who was ever just one of the best at just being a one-cut guy and having a certain type of velocity to get through that line of scrimmage. You know, that's why he was so good. He wasn't the fastest or the biggest guy in the world, but being a one cut, you know, and accelerating through gaps really made him really good. And, you know, that's what people look for, and that's the type of back everyone should want to be, whoever plays the position. You don't want guys back there tiptoeing and dancing and trying to make every cut in the world back there. You want a guy that's going to hit the hole. And more often than not, if you're a one cut guy, you probably have a lot more plays than a guy that sits back there and dances around.
Yeah, for sure, because you're always getting positive yards. The mental aspect is something else that is important. I've seen where you discussed the importance of recognizing, you know, even or odd fronts. How much does that help you just as far as getting that feel and knowing how plays are going to develop?
It helps me a lot. Just I don't have to sit back there and, you know, it's not a guessing game at that point. You know what I mean? A lot of people, if you come in prepared, you know, it's like sleep. It's not something you have to think about. It's just something you just do each and every day. And, you know, understanding what you're running against, understanding what that defense is going to do, where they're supposed to be, and then understanding what your offensive line has been coached to do when they get certain looks and things like that, just allow you to play the game a lot less. A lot less with your mind and just more with your instincts. And then, you know, that what makes the best players the best at what they do.
Was it tough for you having the multiple OCs that you had at Utah?
No, it wasn't really. You know, I've been blessed to just, you know, really be, you know, have a good football IQ, pick up offenses, and, you know, also just been blessed to just being able to thrive at them. At the same time, you know, every OC that we've had has brought something different to the table and, you know, has helped me as a football player and has, you know, kept me very well-rounded in every offense I've played in. You know, I've played in the pro style, the, you know, gun where you sit there and you run, you know, 80% of RPO plays and things like that. So I've been through them all and, you know, I've been able to be pretty productive in each and every one of them. So, you know, it was definitely more of a positive thing for me than a negative.
Zach, one of the things that's interesting to me about you is you're a guy who could have that high volume of carries, right? You look at the BYU game, 29 carries with a 187, a touchdown. But then you turn around, you look at the Oregon State game. Obviously, the 91-yard touchdown was a bulk of it, but, you know, five carries for 121 yards. Do you feel like your ability to hit that home run as well as be the guy to really handle that load, is that something that makes you different from some of the other backs?
Yeah, you know, I feel like I'm a guy that can do, you know, a very versatile guy that can do a lot of things. Like you said, you know, being a high carry guy or, you know, having low carries and still having that same production.
Yeah.
You know, being more explosive and things like that and having more longer runs in my game is something that I've been working on ever since, you know, every day I work on that, you know, trying to get more flexible and enhance my speed and things like that so I can have more plays like that. But, you know, I think it's something that I do very well. And I think it's something that a lot of people don't really take notice of.
And the thing is, because that 91-yarder, that's not the only explosive run you've had. And that's the thing, that everybody weighs so much on a 40 time, but it's like – flip on the film. Like, the eye in the sky is not going to lie. There is explosiveness to your game. I wanted to give you props for muscling through and running the 40 at the combine, but then you came back and you did your pro day again. How did that whole situation come about?
Yeah, so, you know, just running again, having a little private workout, you know, me and my team wanted to, you know, get back out there and, you know, just have something we could put out there with all this, you know, coronavirus things going on right now and, you know, get something out there to the team to let them see what I looked like when I was at full strength and, you know, just put a, you know, an end to all those questions about the combine at the 40 and things like that. But, you know, like you said, it's all about the tape and, you know, the tape speaks more than, you know, anybody out there just running in a shirt and shorts.
No doubt. And before I get you out of here, if you had a chance to tell GMs, and you had the chance in all your meetings, but let's say you wanted to tell Titans GM John Robinson why the Titans should select you at pick number 29. How would you verbalize that?
You know, just a guy that's going to come in and work each and every day if he's an undrafted free agent. You know, loves the game of football. You know, is a student of the game. Is always willing to learn more. You know, definitely never going to be a problem on and off the field or in the locker room. Is going to be the best teammate I can possibly be each and every day.
There you have it, folks. This is one of my favorite backs in this draft, Zach Moss, Utah. Zach, I appreciate you coming on. Definitely wish you the best throughout the process. Hopefully in June, July, whenever things get back going and you guys report to camp. Yeah. Hopefully we'll see you here in Nashville.
Yes, sir, man. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, for sure, man. Talk to you.
All right, boss. Take care.
This is J.M. Brown, and you're now talking with TD.
Yes, yes. I had to let that play because a lot of you guys and girls have never seen our next guest's face before. You may not know him, but those in the know who Wyoming linebacker Logan Wilson is. Logan, what's going on, man?
Not much. How about you?
Hey, listen, man, it's no bad days. That's what I subscribe to. So it's all good, man. I appreciate you coming on. And right off the bat, yeah, for sure. And I wanted to have you on after watching you at the Senior Bowl. I love the energy that you play with. I love the aggressiveness that you play with. And you're one of the guys I will put my stamp on that's going to be a solid pro and be around for a long time.
I appreciate that. Something I pride myself on is definitely effort. And so the fact that you notice that means a lot, because I just try to play with a very high effort, because it's just something that can kind of erase mistakes throughout the course of a game, you know. So,
yeah, and you have over 400 career tackles. And look, that's not going to come without a whole bunch of effort, but it also comes with what I call a GPS for the football. See, this is a Titans show. And Kevin Byard, their starting safety, he's a guy I first coined that phrase for, a GPS for the football, because he always seems to be able to locate it. You do the mm-hmm. same thing. Is that instincts? Is that film study? What's the thing that allows you to always be around the football like you are?
You know, I think it's just a combination of both of those, film study, instincts, and then just kind of understanding where a play is meant to hit. Saying, you know, like a stretch play is not really meant to hit front side as much as it is backside.
Right.
You know, just things like that. And so I think that that's kind of why I'm always in the vicinity of the football.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of feel for it. And that's an excellent point about stretch plays and that outside zone type of concept. Well, also in the passing game, though, you know what I mean? When you look at that, you seem to have a knack for stepping into passing lanes. Is that just another just kind of feeling and reading, like coming off of route combos, you know what I mean, and just being able to know where the ball's going?
Yeah, I mean, that comes from a little bit of film study, but also what a lot of people don't realize is I hadn't played linebacker in my life until I got to college. My whole, like, high school career, I was a defensive back, slot receiver. And so I think that a lot of my credit to my instincts in the passing game coverage-wise, I think really just goes from my defensive back and, like, safety corner background.
Hey, Logan, man, that was going to be my next point. Having played DB and how that helps you in pass coverage. But it's an excellent point. And that being said, why do you feel that you're such a three-down player? Because you're a guy, again, I could think, actually a four-down player, because I see you as an outstanding special teams guy as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just think that I can play the run when I need to. I'm tough, I'm physical, but I also am very comfortable dropping into coverage and doing whatever any team asks of me to do. And like I said, that's a credit to my defensive back background that I had growing up, just understanding when a quarterback's trying to look you off and just trying to understand where you can bait them into throwing into your coverage lane enough to give yourself time to make a break on the ball and make a play.
Yeah, that's a good point about baiting. And it's something I think it was actually the Utah State game. It was almost like you did that to a guy who's going to be a first-round pick in Jordan Love. When you're going against that type of spread, like they just open everything up and they try to get you in space, how tough is that for a linebacker?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. They try to go very, very, very fast, and so you get winded, and then you have to – then it's really a mind game. You got to be mentally stronger than the opposing team that we're going against, and for example, Utah State, like you said. It's very tough. They just try to get you out of position, out of whack, and they're going so fast that you don't have as much time to see on some keys and stuff. And so you really have to kind of be a little more diligent in your film study, understanding like what their go-to plays are when they like to go no huddle.
Yeah, that's something. And you see that with a lot of the better linebackers. Luke Kuechly, I think, is an excellent example You can mention Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis. These are all guys that always seem to know where the football was going because of film study.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any, and I know you played DB initially, but over these last couple of years while you've been at Wyoming, are there any guys that you've watched and you just say, you know what, I could kind of see a resemblance of myself within what that guy brings to the table?
You know, I think Luke Kuechly, without question. I always just liked the way he played the game. I was always kind of a fan of Bobby Wagner. And then Deion Jones as well. Those are probably my three favorites to watch.
Those are some good ones right there, man. Definitely some good ones. And the thing with all of them that it seems to be consistent is being fundamentally sound as a tackler. And that's something that you have. How do you develop that trait as a linebacker?
The fundamentals are everything. You know, if you can't tackle well, then you're not going to be a good defensive football player. You might be able to play some offense, but I think just the coaching staff that I had at the University of Wyoming was very, very good in the fact that they really harp on fundamentals, because the fundamentals are the building blocks to everything else that goes around with football. And so we always worked fundamentals, and I think that, you know, the credit for my fundamentals of my game really goes to Coach Bowl and his coaching staff.
Nice. At the Senior Bowl, I mentioned, you know, in the intro how I was very impressed with you at the Senior Bowl. What's some of the feedback you got from the coaches and even fellow players that you were there with?
You know, for like feedback I got was that I did I kind of exceeded expectations, so to say. You know, it was a really good opportunity for me to play in that game. Coming from a Group of Five conference, you know, we don't get as – we're just not – I don't know how to – you know, the Power Five is the top of the top. You know, the group, they have a lot more guys that go to the Senior Bowl compared to the Group of Five. And so it was a really good opportunity for me to showcase my skills against top-level talent. And I think that, you know, there's always something I could have done better. I think, you know, it's just kind of how I go about my football game, is there's always something I could do better. But, you know, for the most part, I think I did – and accomplished what I wanted to going into that week.
Going into that week, was there something that you wanted to make known to everyone? Because, I mean, granted, as you said, you put a lot of excellent play on film, but Wyoming is not a school that gets the attention that Alabama and Auburn gets. So knowing that, was there something you say, you know what, this is a message that they have to understand about Logan Wilson, the football player?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just wanted to show that I was athletic enough to play man-to-man coverage.
Mm-hmm.
It was just not something we did very much of at the University of Wyoming. So it wasn't that I can't do it. I just wanted to showcase that I am, you know, I have the ability to do so.
Now, what about at the combine? How did that process go for you? I know that had to be a bit different, you know, the extra IQ test and everything that they did. It's crazy for you guys. How did that process go?
You know, it was hectic. I think we were there for 5 days, but it's also, that's how you kind of expect it to be honest. And then, you know, throughout the week going through all the interviews, I think I did very well with my interview process. You know, the medicals and all that kind of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. And then for the combine itself, I did what I wanted to, and I was proud with how I managed, you know, the stresses, so to say, of that week, and then still performed as good as I wanted to on that Saturday night.
Yeah, one of your best measurables that I saw, that short shuttle, that was really good. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, again, it goes back to being a football player, and it goes back to, as you mentioned, the football IQ. Did you get to showcase that on the whiteboard for some of the people that you met with?
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, on some of the formal interviews, it was very light. There were some informal interviews where we got to do some football stuff, but, I wouldn't say like every interview was like that. A lot of them, they just kind of wanted to get to know you and who you were as a person. And then depending on like teams I met with at the Senior Bowl, maybe did a little more football stuff at the combine because I'd already met with them and gotten to know them a little bit.
Got you.
Just depending on the team.
So it was kind of like at the combine, it was for the teams that already met with you, it was just the next step in the dating process, so to speak.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
And when you're meeting with these teams or even just anyone in general, if they say, all right, Logan, tell me three good games that showcase you as a player. I feel like the Utah State game, you know, 8 tackles, a pick 6 and that, I think that was one. Boise, mm-hmm. I thought was a good game. Well, what would you say are three games that you would allow people to point people to see you as a player?
Yeah, I always said Boise State, Colorado State, mm-hmm. and then Missouri.
Okay.
For my three.
The Missouri one. Okay. Well, what was it about the mm-hmm. Missouri one that you really felt stands out?
Well, I just think that, like, I played well, and especially against the level of competition. You know, obviously gotcha. Playing Mountain West Conference. We're not playing necessarily the – we have good, don't get me wrong, the Mountain West Conference is a very good conference, has very good talent. But playing against an SEC-level opponent, I think I played very well against.
Yeah, and you know what? Another game that I would probably put into that is the San Diego State game. I thought that was a good one, and that you're going against a power type of running scheme. So that's another mm-hmm. one. A team captain also, you know, the leadership mm-hmm. part of it. Is that something that came to you naturally? You know, what is it that makes you? And it's almost like linebackers, like you have no choice but to be a leader. You know what I'm saying? What went into you becoming a team captain?
You know, I've always been like a leader by example. Mm-hmm. I've never been a huge vocal leader. I've gotten more vocal, you know, as I've gotten older and understood like what my role is on the team. But I've always been a leader by example, like I said. You know, I've always tried to do the little things the right way, not just on the field, but off the field. You know, sleep, nutrition, the way I lift, the way I go about my business, just things like that. And I think that the guys on the team just took notice of that, and that's kind of why they looked at me as a leader.
As you continue to work through the process, obviously things are somewhat on hold, but where do teams project you? Like, do they see you as a middle linebacker or a Sam? You have coverage ability, so Will, I think, should probably be in the mix as well. Where are teams telling you they would like to employ you when you get drafted?
You know, I think it just depends on the scheme. A lot of teams are looking at Mike or potentially Will or Sam. So it's pretty much just depending on the team and what their scheme fits are.
How would you feel you would fit into a 3-4 scheme?
It would be different, but I think I'd be fine. It just takes some time to get adjusting to it. It's not something I'm, you know, worried about. I'll kind of deal with that if that's what team I end up getting drafted by.
And you know what? Let me be precise with the question. What I meant was, would you see yourself as more as a Mike in that or a Sam?
Oh, man. I don't honestly, probably a Mike just because yeah. I've played Mike the last 3 years, and I think my body type is fit for a mic role. But like I said, it just probably depends on scheme fits and whatnot too.
Yeah, I agree. I felt Mike as well, you know, wear that green dot. So mm-hmm. what's next for you? What are you doing to kind of stay ready as we go through these uncharted territory?
just kind of doing some FaceTime interviews. And then really just kind of working out at home as best I can. You know, there's no gyms open right now.
Yeah.
Luckily for me, like I'm back in Laramie where the University of Wyoming is, and I live across from the old Laramie High School stadium. And so, you know, I can go over there and get some stairs in or some hills or outside. And then I got a body weight workout plan I can do. You know, I bought like a TRX strap and a slam ball, so I had at least something with some more resistance that I could do. And so, you know, just working with what I got. You know, this is out of my control, so I'm just doing as good as I can.
Good stuff. A man with a plan. This is Wyoming linebacker Logan Wilson. As I said, he's going to be a guy that's going to be in the league for a long time just because of the multiple things he brings to the table. Logan, I appreciate you coming on, definitely, you know, want to see how things work out. I can see a fit here in Nashville, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byer, and I'm talking with TD. Ready for war, Joe. How you want to
blow they spot? I know these dirty cops. All right, back from the break, talking with TD. That's that big pun, capital punishment. Twins, you know, because this guy is one of the twins out of Auburn. Folks, you already know this is someone I've been talking about a lot, so I am full of excitement to bring this guest on. Auburn's defensive lineman, Marlon Davidson, the dog himself. What's up, bro?
Hey, what's good, man?
Hey, I'm chilling, man. You know, just trying to do this quarantine and chill thing, but, you know, the show must go on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, for sure that. For sure that.
So I want to just start right off the bat and talk about your versatility, because that's something that really stood out to me. I mean, you're a guy, you could play three tech, five tech, you could play the edge. What is it about you that allows you to excel in all three of those, or even, you know, like I said, a stand-up edge rusher as well?
I mean, just my mindset, man. My mindset is just nobody can beat me. Nobody is better than me. No matter what I line up, sure, you can put me at receiver, I'm going to go out there and do my thing. And, like, man, I just go out there and I just have fun. You know, a lot of people don't have fun with the game anymore. You know, it's so much of a business. Everybody about them and that and themselves, you know. I go out there and just play the game for what the game is, you know what I mean? The game is a great game. You know, somebody can just go out there and just hit somebody repeatedly. You know, people won't call the police on you. Anything like that, man. You know, it's just the game is everything that I love about it. Shoot, that's why I play at a high level that I do.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, right? You go out there and do what you got to do, and nobody call the police on you. You're not going to end up with a mugshot. When I asked you that at the combine, man, you know, what it is you love about it. Yeah, that went viral. That blew up, man. So I appreciate you with that thorough answer like that. But that being said, yeah, I saw you and spoke to you at the Senior Bowl. I watched you throughout the year at Auburn. I watched you at the combine. Talking to you now, I think it seems like you're a subscriber of the no bad days concept, you know. So what is it that gives you always that positive outlook, that upbeat mindset that you seem to bring to the table?
I mean, just the passion of my mother, man. I mean, yeah. You know, she always give me this fire about every day. You know, I approach every day with the best, you know what I mean? Because everybody be like, man, I don't never have – you know what I'm saying? I have bad days. I have this and that. I feel like I always have good days, because as long as I'm waking up and I'm out here doing what I do best, you know, that's always going to be a good day. And, I mean, things might not go your way through life, but, you know, as long as you're living and as long as you're enjoying yourself, even through the bad times and the good times, you know, you can live with that. And, you know, so I just always try to stay positive. You know what I mean? Never let nothing bring me down, no bad situation or nothing. You know what I mean? Just try to stay the course and stay on the straight line path that my mom want me to do.
Amen to that. And you returned to Auburn this past year when you could have come out and, you know, been a decent round draft pick. I know that was a part of a promise to your mother, right, to graduate?
For sure. Yes, sir. For sure. And, I mean, I told Mama, man, you know, Mama always taught us, you know what I mean, in the household, you know, like, finish what you started, you know what I mean? So everything that I always did, you know, I always finished it. You know, because I had this crazy story, man. You know, I was in the seventh grade playing middle school football, junior high football. And, I went out there, man. I quit one time. Like, I just said, man, I was done with this jump, man. You know, I couldn't do it anymore. And I walked home. And when I tell you, man, I had the worst whipping I ever had in my life. Man, I got tore from start to finish, from that moment to the end of the night. And, I mean, she made me walk back, and she was like, man, we never quit nothing that we start. Like, that was a valuable lesson to me, you know what I mean? And it stuck with me through this way. And, I mean, you know, I gave a promise to Auburn that I'd be there for 3 to 4 years. Mm. Shoot, it's a four in there for somewhere. So I said, man, why not do it with my brothers, and why not do it for Auburn? You know, and especially for my mother, you know, being able to graduate in December and being able to, you know, play at a high level that I did, you know what I mean, representing the household name well. You know, this is all I ever wanted.
No doubt about it. And if you could say something to her right now, because here you are, you graduated. Now you're about to be in a situation where, as you said, you could take care of everybody, make sure the family is cool. What would you say to your mother if you had the opportunity to speak to her?
I just say, man, I appreciate her. You know, I appreciate you. And thank you for raising me the way that you did. You know, a lot of people always, you know, praise you for how you raised me and just praise you for the manners and everything that you put in me and instilled in me through all the times. And just, I just want to say I love you and, like, this is all for you. This is for us. You know, I'm still going to get that house that I promised you. I'm still going to get everything. You know, this is for us. You know what I mean? This is for our household. And thank you. I love you.
I love that, man. Real genuine, true, you know, speaking from the heart. When you look at, as I mentioned in the opening, right, you're one of the twins, right? You and Derrick Brown. I mean.
Yes, sir.
Good, great. That offense, that defensive line as a whole, you know, seeing, you know, Big Cat wearing number one, you wearing number three, Derrick Brown wearing number five. Hey, you can't be a slouch if you're a single-digit number, you know what I'm saying, on the D-line. So how were you guys able to just kind of work off of each other? Because the tandem, you know, was really impressive. Like when you had the sack strip against Florida and Derrick picked it up, but the turf monster got him like 40 yards down the field. But how are you guys able to work together the way you were?
I mean, I just feel like when we playing, like we just in sync. Like we've been playing together since our freshman year. So, you know, when one person make a play, then like the other one got to go make a play. You know what I mean? It's not three without five, and that's not five without three. So, you know, we just – I don't know, man. It's just like we have that bond, that connection while we're on the field that, you know, like something is bound going to happen. Like sooner or later, five going to make a play. Then three going to have to make a play. Then you keep going back and forth because, like, we get to the sideline. We start talking junk at one another.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are in full competition through the whole game. Our coach really have to tell us to shut up and pay attention during the game because, like, we always going back at each other trying to get each other to play hard and get each other to play better because, I mean, if I'm playing good in the inside, then that means double teams for him, and I'm out here making plays on the outside. If people watching me on the outside, that means five is going to make a play in the inside. So it works out for both of us, you know what I mean, and just the competition level that we have between each other. Like, we never want somebody over top of us, you know what I mean, because we was roommates. So if I can talk junk at him, I'm going to talk junk. And if he can talk junk at me, he's going to talk junk. So we're not trying to let nobody have the upper hand over either one of us.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And it's interesting you mentioned that the competition in game and also practice, because that's something that last year, talking to Montez Sweat out of Mississippi State and Jeffrey Simmons, who's here with the Titans, they said the same thing. Have you watched Simmons? And if so, what would it be like if you and he were able to be on that same defensive line together?
I can tell you just like this, man. It would be nasty. Now, I was seeing Jeffrey Simmons go and do stuff, man. He was just doing his thing. I can't lie. Like, that guy there, man, he's amazing. And, I mean, how he came back from the ACL injury, like, he didn't skip a beat, man. Mm-hmm. That talk is ridiculous. And, I mean, how strong he is. And how you just manhandling the people children. I was like, dang, bro. You ain't got to do that. People got families to feed out there. But, I mean, just playing beside him, man, I feel like it'll be really easy. I feel like it'll be me and Derrick back over again. And I mean, shoot, just looking at the offensive lineman and just knowing, like, bro, you got a long day. And we young, so we're going to be here for a long time.
Yeah, no doubt. Because, as you said, you're going to come and whoop them and then come back and do it again. And then come back and do it again. You already know.
Yeah. That's what we do, man. Make our stamp on the game right then and there.
Why did you wear number 7 in Mobile at the Senior Bowl? And I noticed, like, on your Twitter, is Marlon Davidson 7 as well.
Yeah, I mean, I had number 7 when I was a junior in high school.
Okay.
You know, I had dreads, so I modeled myself after Jadeveon Clowney.
Mm.
Like, man, I love that dude, man. That dude there, he was special. How he played at South Carolina and how he played, he was special. And, I mean, of course, I did it for Pat Sullivan, our honorary captain who had passed.
Yeah.
And, you know, giving respect out to him and just wearing his numbers and showing people that, you know, three can wear different numbers too. So, just being 7 for a change.
I saw that you had mentioned Cameron Jordan is a guy whose game that you really like watching. What is it about him, and are there similarities, in your opinion, between your game and his game?
I mean, with me and him, I feel like me and him have the same type of mindset coming off the edge. He has a vicious mindset. at all times. Like, I have a vicious mindset at all times. And I mean, he shows it. He runs out the plays. Big body, who very lengthy, can run, can set the edge, can do anything. You know what I mean? I feel like I modeled myself out of him this year, too. You know, like, he's not a very flashy guy when it comes down to pass rushing. Like, he just go out there and do what he do best and go make plays.
Yeah, and you mentioned that the motor and the energy. I want to give you props because there was a game, I think it was, what, 2 years ago against LSU. And Calvin, this is a defensive lineman we're talking about. And one of the things I always tell you I love about Fletcher Cox is how he would run down screens. Well, they ran just like a counter underneath to a receiver. This guy right here ran him down 70 yards down the field. I'm going to show you the clip. Ran him down 7 yards. So I wanted to shout you out for that because that's what you call effort.
Yeah, man. Appreciate that, man. I do, man. That's come with a little bit of pride, too, you know what I mean? I feel like I can go get you. I'm going to go get you.
Hey, you went and got him, man. That's the funny part. We're talking about a receiver. Tracked him down 70 yards down the field. For you, when you talk about games that stand out, I really like the Georgia game, you know, because I like what you were able to do. You had the sack against Andrew Thomas. Right?
Mm-hmm. And first one that year.
Yeah, there you go. So what would you say besides that game are good ones to watch to get the aura, the gist of Marlon Davidson?
I mean, Georgia, you can play on Florida, you can play on LSU. I mean, you can play on any game you want to. You're going to see three regardless. I mean, you're going to see three having fun, you're going to see three smiling, you're going to see three getting out of people's tails and making sure that they know that I'm here all day long.
So as far as going from, you know, your junior year to your senior year and then even into the combine, like you checked, or senior bowl even, you checked in at 300 pounds. What was the key for you adding the weight but still not losing speed?
I mean, just showing people that I can be bigger and move. You know what I mean? Like, people had me on a tweener. You know what I mean? So I got out of the tweener mode and just said, I'm going to be a three technique for now. So, and I'm just showing them, like, even at 300 pounds, I can go on the edge and destroy a tackle. Even at 300 pounds, I can still run out the edge, be able to have my first step quickness that I still had as I was created. And I mean, I can always get back down to 280. It's kind of hard to beef up to 300 pounds and be able to move and keep it. You know what I mean? So I felt like it would have been easier for me to get up that weight and just show people I can still do what I do and do it at a high level.
And you mentioned playing on the edge. I saw you get after the quarterback on the edge, but also setting that edge, right, and funneling things back inside when it comes to the run defense. What's the key to doing that? How are you so good at that?
I mean, just having an edge about myself, like people not going to run the ball on my side. Like, man, I take pride in people running the ball to me. You know what I mean? If they running the ball to you, that means that you're a weak link. You know, so running at me, I'm going to go make sure that this play go back the other way or I'm going to make the play. That's how I made a lot of my plays this year, for people trying me on some crazy stuff. So I just had to show them.
Hey, look, every play you got to prove yourself. I like that. As far as your hands are concerned, those are very violent. I saw that firsthand watching you in the bag drills in Mobile. But then in addition to that, what's your go-to pass rush move? How do you beat an offensive lineman?
My favorite pass rush is stab trap. I don't know why. I mean, I like to be able to stick a man in his chest, make him feel the power, and be able to club his outside hand to get around him and then use speed. So I like to go with power and speed all the time because people don't think, because I'm big, you know what I mean, they don't think that I can move as well as I can. But I am pretty fast. I can't lie. That 40 time ain't do no justice. That little clock was messing with me. But I really am pretty fast, though. I can't lie.
Yeah, I saw you were like a 4.76 at one point. So
yeah, I was, but I was 285 then, you know. So that could be a problem too, you know. I was a little 300 pounder out there on the day show.
Well, you're not going to have to run 40 yards consistently, right? It's all about that first 10, that 10 yard split.
Oh yeah, now 10 yards, I'm gonna get you regardless. I don't care where you're going.
Got that get off. Watching you at Pro Day, I saw some of the clips, and you were first in line on the bag drills. I saw you standing over top of some of the guys on the bench, you know, cheering them on and What is it? Like, is that just a natural thing that comes to you, that leadership aspect?
Yeah, the leadership aspect. I'm just an energy guy. Man, I pump my teammates up regardless, you know what I mean? Because as long as they doing good, then we all doing good. Because, I mean, end of the day, it's a brotherhood, you know what I mean? It's a brotherhood through it all. And, I mean, I love my brothers. I hope my brothers do well with everything they do, so.
No doubt about it.
The whole family eat. So, I mean, I just love my brothers, man. I mean, as long as my brother's doing good, you know, I just like my people in the household. You know what I mean? My people in the household. We doing, with one doing good, we all doing good. So if I'm doing good, they doing good too. You know what I mean? With Derek, you know, as long as Derek out there making his plays, then we all make plays because we all a unit. You know what I mean? We're a family.
And last thing before we get you out of here. You have a couple Iron Bowl victories under your belt. This is a Titans show. Derrick Henry's an Alabama guy. Rashawn Evans, Alabama guy.
Oh, yeah. I got to talk my junk.
That's what I'm saying. If you come here, you going to talk that talk?
Of course. I'm going to talk my stuff to him, to the Mississippi State. I'm talking to everybody, you know what I mean? Whoever Auburn player, they playing against somebody, I'm always with Auburn.
No doubt. I appreciate you coming on and Madhouse Montgomery. I was in Montgomery 3 weeks ago, man, and that's dope that you were getting some training in there. We definitely appreciate you though, Marlon. I really hope you end up here because I know you will help my work go a lot more smoothly because you're full of quotes, man. Appreciate it, and your game is right.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all, man. Appreciate you for having me out here.
For sure. Take care, man.
All right. Thank you.
All right. All right. That's that red man. Can't wait, man. Listen, man. I really be grooving to Red Man, man. That's one of my tracks. Well, can't wait. And speaking of not being able to wait, I can't wait until this draft comes. I tell you that much because, whew, Lord have mercy. We need some new stuff to talk about, right? I mean, we're going to keep the show going, as you see, but this draft is rapidly approaching. We'll see what happens there. Adam Schefter had a really good proposition to have each day be a separate round. I think that's a good idea just to really give everyone more time to go in depth about these guys. And then also to give these GMs and personnel folks more time to meet. Because no one's in the buildings, right? It's all remote work. You can't get that person-to-person access, really read somebody's body language and vibe when they're talking about a player. You know, like the vibe and body language you get from me when I'm talking about Marlon Davidson. You know what I mean? But I think that's a good idea. That being said, I want to invite you guys to go to the Titans website because they have a video of Vin Marino, the vice president of football operations. They have one of him talking about the roster engineering process, like building it through the free agency and just making sure the numbers meet the cap and all that. That's an interesting video. And then you also have John Robinson, a video of him and the guys going through, you know, saying what they like about players and going back and forth. This is a really cool video. So watch both of those. But my favorite video on the Titans site right now is good old Coach Vrabel. You know, he's when I say TD is for the people, yeah, TD is for the people, but Coach Vrabel is for the people. You know, shout out to Vrabel for out there walking the streets of North Nashville, making sure that, you know, people had their supplies, driving the truck with John Robinson hanging out the back of supplies, you know. Got to shout them out for that. But he did something even more special recently, and they recorded a video of it. I'm just going to play you a portion of what he did because I thought it was pretty cool. But Vrabel called an 87-year-old Titans fan who's also an Ohio State alum. His name is Ron Cagaris. Mr. Ron, I apologize if I mispronounce your name, but hey, man, I thought it was really cool that you had this conversation with Coach Vrabel. So check it out.
We're on to the draft now. You got any suggestions other than take a bunch of Ohio State players?
I suggested that the last time.
That's what you wanted last. Quit hiring coaches from Ohio State. Get players.
I want to congratulate you on the job you've done, not only last year, but the job you've done before that, because I think it's great to see a coach not only tell players what to do, but show them. And that's just sets you apart.
Well, I appreciate it. That means a lot, and I don't know any other way to do it, so that's what I'll keep doing. I'll keep coaching them and trying to teach them every chance I get.
That's great. Don't overlook J.K. Dobbins.
We won't. I'll tell John Robinson. I say, hey, Ron wants us to take as many Buckeyes as we can get.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with what you're doing, Mike. I'm really proud of you.
Well, I appreciate your support, and you know, once we get back to work, man, you come down and see us at OTAs and come hang out for a day, okay?
We'd like to do that.
So that was the end of the call. J.K. Dobbins, he wouldn't be bad in the Titans uniform, I tell you that much. But I just thought it was really cool that Coach Vrabel did that. And as you heard, he invited him, you know, once all of this passes, because this shall pass. Once everything is cleared and we're good to go, he invited Mr. Cagarese to come to the facility. That was pretty cool. But, you know, before we get out of here, want to shout out my guy, Tajay Sharp. You know what I mean? Good people right there. He moved on to Minnesota. That should be a good opportunity for him. The Titans do play the Vikings, so Tajay will get to go against some of these DBs. Will it be Jeff Gladney? Will it be Darnay Holmes? Will it be Logan Ryan? We shall see. That being said, make sure you check out my post on ESPN.com about some of the corners, some of the edge rushers, as well as some of the running backs in free agency and the draft that the Titans should target. As always, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, search Talking with TD, rate, review, 5 stars, that is. Subscribe as well. We'll be back next week with another show. Everybody stay safe. Make sure you wash your hands. God bless and good night.